This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Tonight I want to speak, and this message is called Praying with Gratitude. Praying with Gratitude. And if you would just turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. A very familiar passage of Scripture. And I pray that the Lord will just open it up to us. Two verses we're going to look at tonight in Philippians chapter 4. In praying with gratitude. I heard, and I know you heard it too, the praying tonight. The Holy Ghost was in it. And you just know that the Lord was doing exactly as we were asking Him to do. And He was visiting those with no hope. And He has been, His presence is in a place that creates hope, and it creates where He is this gratitude and this awareness of His power and how He answers our prayers. And in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 6 and 7, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Be careful for nothing. If I could paraphrase those first few words of verse 6, where it says, "Be careful for nothing," it means do not be anxious. Do not be full of anxiety for nothing, not even one thing. Be anxious. Do not be full of care. Do not be full of anxiety, not even for one thing, but rather in everything. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the Bible is clearly telling us that and don't let your heart be troubled and then stay troubled. It's saying that don't let a heart that is agitated stay agitated. A heart that can be agitated and troubled for a long time is a heart that can be manipulated and led and lied to. And it will never experience the peace that God promises for those who, when anxiety and trouble come to the heart immediately knows what to do. And the heart that is well taught in the things of God knows that there's not even one thing that I am to be weighted down with, but I am to turn immediately when the weight and the trouble and the anxiety comes. That I am in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, turn it to God. Make it a prayer to call on Him with thanksgiving. And that word thanksgiving means well by grace. That's what that word literally means. It means well by grace. That when we turn to prayer, no matter what the anxiety and the anxiousness is, we know it is going to be well by grace when we turn it over to the Lord. I think the kind of prayer, this kind of praying is really in some ways a very clear and precious indicator of where our faith truly lies. Can we, when our heart is anxious and full of trouble, in that moment, can our response be to turn it to prayer and a prayer that says, "This shall be well by grace. This situation, I'm calling on God, and in His perfect way, been turning it over to Him, He shall make it well by grace. Let your requests be made known to God this way, and then the peace of God, which passes or surpasses all understanding, will take over." When an anxious or careworn or troubled heart stirs within us, I believe this scripture is stirring us to say, don't accept it. Don't walk with it. Don't encourage it. Don't say, no, this is spiritual. But say, no, not even one issue, no matter how deep or complicated. Do not let the care of it capture our heart and imprison it in anxiety and trouble. No, 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 no. There's a swift antidote. There's a medicine. It says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious and full of anxiety about not even one thing. But rather, by the prayer and supplication, that means asking for benefits, let it be made with the full understanding it shall be well when I give it to God. I admit I have prayed many poor prayers in my life in comparison to what this scripture is telling me, what prayer that pleases God is. Because I believe that turning anxiety into prayer and then turning prayer first to gratitude, to have a grateful heart in that prayer, is a very powerful key. I think this scripture is suggesting that we start by praying with gratitude. That no matter what is rising up to trouble our heart, it's like, Lord, I want to pray with thanksgiving that it shall be well. You know, why would we pray like that? Well, first of all, if we know Jesus Christ, we have a history with God. And we start by being able to pray with gratitude, saying, God, I thank you, first of all, no matter how anxious or troubled right now this heart is, God, I'm going to start by asking for grace to pray with gratitude, with thanksgiving. I want now, God, that you send your grace to me and let me remember God's past mercies to me. Before I ask anything of you, God, remind me. And we heard it this morning so clearly. It's mercy, mercy, mercy. We come to God and it's nothing but mercy, mercy, mercy extended to us. And we come in this attitude, thank you, God, that now when I bend my knee to you, the first thing that's poured out upon my mind and upon my spirit is mercy. Like Esther when she went to the throne and the scepter was granted. What do you want? What is it you want? Your heart is so troubled, but the scepter, that symbol of power is extended to you. What is it you want? Because there's mercy in this place. First extended. And then after we understand this mercy, God, I have not gotten what I have deserved. You have not dealt with me according to who I really am and how I act at times. God, I don't deserve all this mercy. And I thank you, God, I'm going to come boldly. I've not gotten what I've deserved. You've been so patient with me in all my failings, in the way I act towards you. You've been so kind. And God, I want to be able to take my burdened heart to you. And Lord, I want you to teach me my first response when I come to you is gratitude. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you for an awesome and loving God that you are. And then we acknowledge the great benefit bestowed on every believer, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at the cross. We remember, we take our burdened heart to a God who died for us and gave himself that we may have life. We take ourselves to a Jesus that says, I take every sin and I nail it to my cross, every one, and that the penalty of that sin is taken from you. And that, Lord, I can come freely to a Jesus who promised to break the power of sin in my life. Thank you for this cross. Thank you for the sacrifice of Christ. Thank you, I come boldly. And Lord, because I've given my life to you, you say you've cleansed me. And you say the Holy Spirit is now in me, teaching me what I need to pray for now. Leading me how I should pray. Lord, I just take my hands off my burdened heart and I take my hands off my care and anxiety. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit lives in me and is going to lead me and teach me how to pray about this situation. My mind is going to be released from the grip of what I want and how I see it needs to happen. And God, your peace is going to flood me and say, you know how to deal with it. You know how to calm the anxious heart. You know why I'm troubled. You know why I'm burdened. And God, I thank you. I thank you. You know what to do. And you have the power to do it. And you have the heart to do this. When I release and stop telling you what to do and I bring this request to you and say, God, do what only you can do in your way. And I thank God that when we learn to pray like this, this anxiety turns into thanksgiving, into grateful, humble, thankful prayers, into our battles. And when we've learned to do that first, it's an incredible thing. I think about Jesus, the very first miracle he ever performed was turning water to wine. And I think of when our anxieties and the trouble of our heart overflow us like many, like the river flooding the banks. And this water wants to, these anxieties and troubles, these waters want to rush over our heart and mind. And I thank God that the first miracle also can be ours, where Jesus turns these waters of trouble into wine, into the joy of his salvation. Beloved, because that's why we pray grateful prayers. Because we're saved. Because we're saved. Because we're heard, because we're saved. Because we'll be delivered, because we're saved. Because we're saved from the wrath of God, we're saved. That God loves us, we're saved. We're chosen, we're saved. He is with us, we're saved. He is for us, we're saved. We're saved. He loves us, He knows our name. He's moving on our behalf. He's greater than any situation that presents itself. When we begin to call on heaven, He says, I am there and I rule over it. And I want to give you the eyes to see I'm greater than it all. And by my spirit, I delight in knocking down the strongholds of the enemy. I died that I may set those you pray for free. I live so that you can make intercession to me, that I may answer your prayers. You're saved. We're saved. It's the joy of our salvation. It's the wine of life. We, no matter how we get troubled, we need to close our eyes and shut in and just drink of this wine of our salvation, the joy of our salvation, no matter what's troubling us. Hallelujah. Let's call on that first miracle first in our prayers, not from Jesus' help to Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, this week was, you know, it was a busy week. But can I tell you, Friday when I went to write this message, I totally procrastinated. And I knew all day I was supposed to get down to getting a message, and it was 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I still had, it was like I couldn't, you know, I procrastinated. I was going to say something else, but procrastinated. I didn't want to. I was sitting in the same room with my son, and I'm flipping through the Bible, and it's 11 o'clock at night. And he goes, "You're not getting it, are you, Mom?" Well, you know something? I actually had. You see, not that I had a message, but I had gone, in my desperation, I'd gone to the balcony, and many of you know what the balcony of desperation is. You have visited it too. And I was thinking, Lord, well, I had no idea what he wanted the message to be. I had no idea. This never happens to me this late. I mean, rarely happens. And I was praying, and then all of a sudden it was like I just began praising him, and I started to say, Lord, I thank you that you were going to be gathered in your name. And Lord, you love us, and where there are hungry people, you feed us. I don't have to worry. God, you've got a word already prepared. God, you are drawing the people. You're going to bless us. You're going to speak to us. And all of a sudden, like this joy, this confidence in Jesus, this confidence that he had something already prepared, I just need to enter in, began to get to my soul. And I began to just thank him, and I was full of gratitude for what it was he was going to say. And then I came back in, and I'm flipping through the Bible, but I did have that peace that passes understanding, that somehow a word would come. And starting at 11:05, it did eke out. You know, I found that grateful hearts become praising hearts. And I've also found that praising hearts become grateful hearts. The physicians tell us that the heart-lung is like one organ in the body. They don't work independently of each other. They work as one inner organ in the human body. And in the spiritual life of man, praise and thanksgiving have that same relationship. And it's funny because when we come and we decide that, Lord, this scripture that says be anxious for nothing, because, Lord, you're not glorified with an anxious, troubled spirit. Now, let me make a distinction here. There is such a thing as a Holy Ghost grief. There is such thing as a where you're gripped by God and an anguish can come on your soul that is of God, that you begin to intercede in the Holy Ghost for something. But that intensity, we don't live in that intensity. That's something that God will put on a heart, a soul for a person, a situation. That it's like your heart, it's like your insides melt and your heart's going to die. And except but you pray and get the release, except but you pray in the Holy Ghost. That's a different thing. But what I'm talking here, where it says this anxiousness and this troubling, that's the very opposite of the peace of God. We're not to walk with it. We're not to walk with it. It says, be anxious, be careful, be for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. We are not to carry it. And I found that when I went and I said, I began praising Him and I began to be so grateful that, Lord, You are a living Word and You have something for us. And I praise You. I thank You. The burden is off me, God. I'm trusting in Your loving heart. I'm trusting in the heart You have for Your people, God. You're going to feed us. You're going to take a very little bit and You're going to magnify it. And when I began praising Him and thanking Him, the whole atmosphere in my mind changed. The whole atmosphere in this temple changed. And I believe that too, this Christmas, that God wants us to begin to pray these kind of prayers where the whole atmosphere in our homes begin to change because the atmosphere in here has changed. I believe that when we begin to pray prayers of thanksgiving, that it shall be well by grace, we're starting to reach out by faith. We're beginning to see things by faith. I don't care how old you are in God. The Holy Spirit will show us how to pray these kind of prayers. Where all of a sudden, as we're praising Him and the greatness of our God, the greatness of our God begins to invade our spirit and souls, we pray very different kind of prayers. We don't pray poor me prayers. We don't pray those kind of prayers that are under the oppression of the enemy. But we get lifted up. You see, when we have this kind of grateful heart that says, thank You, God, for Your past mercies. Thank You, God, for how patient You are with me. Thank You, God, that You see my heart, God. And You know, Lord, that I want to learn what it is to glorify You. You know what it is, Lord. I want to pray these prayers that are led by the Holy Ghost that are pleasing to You. Lord, I just want to be able to be used by You. And I thank You, God, that You came, You died for me, that my sin, even what I'm struggling with right now, Lord, that You are forgiving, You're breaking the bonds of it. God, I don't have to live under this oppression. God, You're going to give me a heart, Lord, to care and to want to pray for people. And God, no matter the pressures of my household, of my job, of my own heart, of my finances, whatever it is that's troubling, that God, I lift it up to You and I thank You, Lord. You are the way. You are the life of this thing. You know, God, what to do. And I thank You, and we begin with this gratefulness to an awesome God who hears us and who is moving mightily on our behalf, is coming our way. We get the upper hand, and we go to the high ground with prayers that are couched with thanksgiving. The devil can't follow us up the mountain of thanksgiving. He will never be grateful. Yes. We go up that mountain of praise starting to be grateful, starting to remember the mercy, starting to remember our salvation, starting to remember the sacrifice of Christ, our awesome God, that Jesus' name is a high tower, and we run into it and we can't be touched in these places of prayer. And we go up the mountain to the high places. And we sing the high praises of God. We've heard it preached here so well. That high praises of God is, it's independent of what's happening around us. That it can't take our testimony and can't take our song. Because we know how great is our God. We're ascending a mountain of praise. And we're thankful for the God we serve and the God who answers prayer. Because it shall be well by grace what we're praying for. We were in this past year in a South American country. And there was a women's conference, and in the morning, there was a worship team. Many of them that are sitting behind me tonight were there, and Raphael, who led us tonight, was there, and we knew the glory of God in this morning women's worship. But later that day, I began to sense in the evening service that there was going to be something very dark happen. And I knew the Holy Spirit was saying there is going to be a great opposition tonight. But the worship team that had worshiped in the morning and in the afternoon when Sister Nolene had spoken, they were scheduled, as it were, to speak at an event that night for businessmen. And I went to this group and I said to them, largely these ladies, and I said, "This is totally volunteer. But could some stay behind tonight? And would you form a worship team? And would you come and would you sing?" Because you see, there was a band already slated for that night, but they were a young group. And they didn't know what it was to battle darkness, because for a lot of them, darkness was still all over them. And they could not lead the charge into the enemy's ground because they had not that kind of consecration and that kind of experience with God. They weren't convinced how great was their God yet, largely because of their youth. And many of the ladies, they were like warriors, you know, and it meant that they were going to do double duty that night. It meant they were going to sing at the women's conference and they'd have to rush out to another thing. But it was like something rose up in their spirit, and it's like, yes, we'll be there. If there is a fight, we've come here to fight. And we got there, and this volunteer army, you know, they're the most dangerous ones. And the room, the auditorium, was pitch black. You couldn't even see. You didn't know if there was three people in the audience. You couldn't see what was going on at all. It was dark. And I thank God that Brother Greg, who was leading the whole worship team, when I said, "Could I please have some?" It meant, you know, where he was going would be few less. And it was like, whatever, we're one, you know, we go as one. And if you need people, you take them. And so here we were that night in this dark, dark auditorium. And all of a sudden this young worship team got up and they were singing, and I was on the platform, and I can't describe it except that I felt like my head was in a cage of unclean birds. And my mind was so attacked. And it was like you were like, "Lord, you know, you're just fighting and struggling. Not, you know, to glorify him, not to worship. I mean, to stay with your thoughts straight." And the oppression was, it was like I was being attacked and dive-bombed, and I couldn't even remember what I was speaking about. And then after 30 minutes, our group got up behind me, and they began to sing the high praises of God. And you want to know, when you sing like that, really all it is prayer with a tune. It's prayer. It's just prayer with a tune. And they began to sing, "How great is our God, and God is good." And they began to sing the goodness of God, and how we come with a thankful heart, how we come with hearts that want to glorify him because he's so good, because he loves us, because of the cross, because of Jesus. And as soon as these women and this band started to play, all of a sudden it was like an audience that I looked at, I couldn't see one face. All of a sudden I begin to see them, and I saw the hands go up. And I saw that, you see, people want Jesus. They don't want entertainment. They didn't come to sit in a dark room that symbolized the darkness in their heart and their soul and in their families and in their situation. They had come for light. They had come for life. They hadn't come for anything else. And this group of singers began to pray with a tune. And they began to lead the army and pierce the darkness. They began to shatter the strongholds of unbelief in the listeners. They began to go as a mighty army with banners into the enemy ground. I saw it, and all of a sudden it was like a sanctuary. My mind was taken to a sanctuary. And all of a sudden the peace came into my mind, and all of a sudden it's like I could smell a sweet perfume. My head, all of a sudden, no longer being attacked, now was brought into the presence of God. And God began to take the message he'd given me and began to expand it, and he began to give a one-time message. I couldn't even give it now, but it was on a perfumed mind when Mary took her hair and wiped the feet of Jesus. I mean, they just brought the word. They didn't just sing the word, they gave the word. I was just the messenger. Hallelujah. They were praying. They were praising with gratitude. They came. They were warriors. They knew how great their God was. And everything that they were praying and singing for these people, it had been wrought because they had experience with God. And they could come with gratitude and with full confidence, God is going to do something mighty in this place. And you know, they left that stage. And Loretta told me later that the group of them came into the second venue. And they looked. They said they were all lit up. They were all glowing with the glory of God. Fresh from the conquest. Fresh from a field of victory into another. Another one from strength to strength. Hallelujah. 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 And the result of this kind of praying is peace. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and my heart, your mind, my heart, through Jesus Christ. This kind of peace is a God-bestowed blessing. It's a God-bestowed blessing. It's peace from His mind to our mind. It's a peace that is the very center of God. We can't panic God. There's panic in hell, but we can't panic God. There's a peace at the very center of who He is. And when we belong to God and we begin to pray prayers of thanksgiving, there is a peace deposited in us. And let me put it this way. It's a peace, the scripture says, that passes understanding. It surpasses all understanding. Anything the mind can understand about peace, it goes way better, way deeper than that. It's not a peace that lodges in our mind because we understand things. No, that's a peace the world gives. If I can figure it out, I feel better. Especially if you're a control freak. But this is a peace that passes understanding. It doesn't just, you know, invade the mind. It marches through the mind, says, sit down, be still, and it goes right to the spirit. And then it says, I love this definition of peace because if you look it up, it says, this peace where the derangement and distresses of life caused by sin are removed and are settled. So first this peace comes in. If there's any derangement and distress because in the life because of sin, it comes in and it says the blood of Jesus Christ covers every sin. It comes and brings order to our heart. It subdues the war in our heart. It says, sin, you don't rule here anymore. May I remind you, there's another authority greater than the sin of the selfishness and the anxiety and the trouble and the fear that's trying to rule the heart. He says, no, you'll sit down and your power is broken. I'll remind you that the peace of God that rules our hearts, we're talking authority here, has come back and is sitting on the throne of our heart. And this kind of peace brings order. And it establishes it once again. It reminds us the authority of Christ. If we've invited Christ into our heart, Christ is not left. It reminds us. And it brings order to the rebellious sin that wants to lie to us and say, I'm in charge here. Seeing the mighty transformation that this peace brings into our heart. I love it where it says it's not just this peace that passes understanding, but it says it shall keep your hearts and minds. It's a strange peace because it's an armed peace. It's an armed peace. It's a peace that keeps the peace of our mind and heart. That means keep means guards. Can I put it this way? It's peace sent to keep the peace. Because it's enforced by the Prince of Peace. You and I learn to be guided by peace. You see, at the bottom, at the deep part of our heart, is Christ, the Prince of Peace. I'm using a metaphor to give us a picture, but, you know, so when the troubling comes, it's surface on the water. It's not the big power underneath it, like the tsunami that in the middle of the Pacific just looks like a small bump. On the ocean. No, wait till it hits land. You'll see what you got. And the troubling and the anxiousness that the enemy wants to say is all-consuming and rules your life and will dominate your thoughts and dominate your life and everyone around you. That's the real problem. No, beloved, if we belong to Christ, the Prince of Peace is at the bottom of it all. And He says, let not your heart be troubled. You will be guided by my peace. It's troubled because there's something there that's disturbing the peace. But I'm here to guard truly the peace of your mind and your heart. And I'm alerting you to what you're experiencing now. You may give it to me in all prayer and supplication, knowing it shall be well by grace. You must come to me now and hand it all over to me, because the truth is, peace, you will be guided by peace. I'll show you what's right. I'll show you what's wrong, what you must discard and what you can keep, what is of me and what is not by me. You will be kept and led by peace. That is our inheritance. The Lord says, I felt when I was writing this message, the Lord was saying to me and to you, you are Jacob to me. You are Jacob to me. And if you know in the scriptures, Jacob was the chosen one. Esau should have inherited the blessing and the birthright, but Jacob longed for it. And there is some here tonight, you are longing. You are longing that Christ be glorified in your life. And you're heading in to the season of joy and peace, but many seasons have come and gone where there has been so precious little peace. Because we all got caught up in what wasn't lasting. In what, you know, in the season and the pressures of it. And many times the sin it brings out. But God says, you're Jacob to me. You longed for the blessing and the birthright. And God says, looking at the life of Jacob, he chose Jacob and he says, I've set you above your brother Esau. Because you see, Esau, who should have been the inheritor, whose eyes should have been opened and saw this incredible life that God had chosen him to be part of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. He should have been part of that passed down blessing that would eventually bring Christ to the world. But Esau was a man of the earth. He was a man of the flesh. He was a hunter of the earth. All he wants, all he hunts is what the earth bestows. He hunts for honor and riches and the praise of men in the earth. He hunts for it. And you'll trade all the richest blessings of God in heaven for earth soup. But Jacob is chosen. And it's precious to him what God is offering him. But you know, I felt like God was saying, you're Jacob to me, because at a certain time, Jacob was sent back by God to go back to an offended brother. And after blessing him, and God after blessing us, beloved, I felt so strongly in my heart that God was saying the same thing as he said to Jacob, that he's sending some back home to face a wounded brother this season. Some of you are going to an angry relative this season. Some of you are going to a bitter, disillusioned family. And beloved, I ask you, how will you pray about this? Jacob, before he was sent back to face Esau, he prayed a prayer. He says, I won't go till you bless me. And he wrestled all night, and that's a type of prayer. But the scripture says that Jacob prevailed. That doesn't mean that God and Jacob had a wrestling match and Jacob won. That means that Jacob prevailed in prayer. He wrestled. And that's a type of God embracing him, where God wrapped his arms around him, where God says, Jacob, you're going to grow stronger. You are going to prevail. You're going to prevail in prayer. And when you let me embrace you and there's this wrestling, that you know I am with you and that I'm infusing my life and my strength into you and my joy into you, you're going to start to pray prayers of gratitude, because you know you will prevail. He's wrestling in prayer, but he's getting more joyful. Can you see him getting more infused with strength? He didn't want to go back to his brother. He didn't start the night like that before he started praying. He was afraid what he'd meet the next day. He was afraid what he was going to meet in his brother. He was afraid of that confrontation with Esau. But he knew that God was saying, go, you must return. And going into prayer, he knew what it was he was to do, but he didn't want to do it. He was afraid. But beloved, when we go in this kind of situation, thank God our prayers can be, I will speak to this mountain of fear in me, and I will speak to this mountain of unwillingness in me. We sang it tonight. That's what kind of prayer is when we have to go home and face an angry and offended one. That we can prevail, that we can pray, and we can grow stronger in this prayer till all of a sudden we know we're going to prevail. We're going to encounter this offended brother, and we can speak to the fear and the unwillingness that God, whatever it takes, by your Spirit, I will prevail. I will be given the right heart for him. I'll be giving the words for him. I'll be given humility for him, but I will prevail. And it went well with Jacob. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Our prayer can be, thank you, God, only in you I prevail and able to do the right thing. Only in you am I able to prevail and do the right thing, but I am in you. And I thank you, Lord, that I can pray this kind of believing prayer because you delight to answer that kind of prayer. We can freely pray, Lord, I don't have a knowledge problem, but save me from an obedience problem. Oh, yes. I wished I'd prayed that prayer a long time ago. And God wrapped his arms around Jacob, who was wrestling with his fear and his doubt. And in God's embrace, all fear and doubt dissolved. And Jacob prevailed through the embrace of God that says, you pray those prevailing prayers. It shall be well. The Lord says that you are Peter to me. Peter betrayed his Lord, and many can relate to that tonight. Who among us has not felt that bitter barb where we have really felt we have disappointed God? Some betrayed God. And that you feel unusable and compromised because you knew so much. Like Peter, he had the revelation, thou alone art the Christ. He walked on water. And I think that when he betrayed Christ, I know that in his heart, I don't know if he ever thought he'd be able to forgive himself. And for a time in his walk with Christ after the crucifixion, I believe he followed with the others. He followed at a distance, but he followed Christ with a defeated mind. And I tell you something, there's no gratitude in those kind of prayers. There is no gratitude in the kind of prayers that follows Christ with a defeated mind. There's no gratitude from the mind that feels defeat. And yet the interesting thing is when Christ finally encounters Peter after Jesus is resurrected, he appears to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? I think that question alone must have floored Peter. Don't you think he would have thought the question should be, Lord, do you still love me? I know that the Lord says, Peter, do you love me? And he asks it three times. And beloved, this prayer, this conversation is prayer. Conversation with Jesus is prayer. And there's this conversation going on. And Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? And he says, yes, I love you. Was the first time maybe a half-hearted mourning. I love you. Whatever good that does. I love you. He asked him again, do you love me, Peter? I love you, Lord. A third time, do you love me, Peter? He goes, you know I love you. I do love you. I love you. You know, sometimes we have to just say a certain thing over and over and over till it penetrates. And did it dawn on him that failure hadn't robbed him of his love for Jesus? There was still something God could use. And Jesus says to him, feed my lambs and feed my sheep. I still have something for you to do, Peter. Failure hasn't removed you from the love of Christ or being used. And this new prayer of thanksgiving, thank you, God. Thank you that whatever you took me through, you've sifted me of my pride. Thank you, God, for every experience I've had from your hand. I see so much of it is from your hand, not the enemy's hand. It's from my own hand or your hand. But you've sifted me from pride, and I will start to praise your mercy in my life. I'm going to start to praise you're so faithful to me. God, you love me so much, you won't leave me ignorant and in my pride. And Peter now, through his experiences, he was made to understand that the call on his life could only be accomplished through Christ. What kind of prayers does that produce? Oh, God, you know this is impossible, but God, thank you. With you, all things are possible. Thank you. You've forgiven me and you still want to use me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And prayers, no matter what faces you, no matter how, what kind of past is rife with failure, we come to him. Thank you. You do want to use me. Thank you. You do love me. Thank you. I defeat the enemy because you are this kind of God. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. What did it take for Peter to keep moving forward in God? It took trust and belief in God's unfailing love for him. Oh, yes. But let me tell you something. If you are convinced of God's unfailing love, then you will pray grateful prayers. That's a guarantee. And a prayer of gratitude can say, God, this mountain of regret, this mountain of weakness, this mountain of inability to forgive myself, Lord, I speak to it in Jesus' name. I speak to it, this mountain of regret, this mountain of weakness, this mountain of failure, this mountain where I wasn't able to serve you in this capacity because I'm weak here. God, I thank you. You're causing me to rise up and see that I can, through Christ, do this. There's going to be a change in me, not in my strength, but in your promised strength. Thank you. The change starts now. Thank you. I'm not defined by past failure. Beloved, you and I are not defined by past failure. I don't care if you walked in this door still entrapped by past failure. Christ is an ever-living God. He's here now, and he'll move into your heart and say, trust me, and begin to pray prayers of believing faith in my unfailing love for you. And I've forgiven you of past failure. In me is your strength. You cannot fulfill the call in your life apart from me. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But in me, this area of failure, I'm going to call us to live. Because I live in you. And people are going to know me because they know you. Can you believe that? Hallelujah. When Satan appears at the door and mind of our heart to taunt us and to haunt us with past sins. Beloved, you know what you and I can do? We can tell him, Well, enemy, you've got one thing right. You've said one thing right the whole time you've been accusing me. You have said one true thing. That sin you're accusing me of, I did commit it. But thank you for reminding me how gracious my Father is. Thank you. And my past failure is teaching me to be more compassionate and merciful to people. Thank you for making me realize how totally and utterly forgiven I am. How God really does use the weak to confound the wise. Hallelujah. Thank you for reminding me that I'm accepted and not rejected. Because if I was rejected, you wouldn't give me 2 seconds of your time. You only go after those that Christ loves. Hallelujah. Thank you for reminding me I have a high calling. I have a high calling. You don't mess with those that have given up and said, "My, I have a little Jesus." No, we have a big Jesus when we pray grateful prayers. Hallelujah. Thank you, devil, that I've been given power to live differently than before. Thank you for reminding me I think differently. I know that your head is under my heel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You, devil, cannot make unclean what Christ has cleansed. You cannot. And you, devil, are too late. You're too late. You can know you no longer have ground to torment me because the cross of Christ has taken my sin and nailed it there. Hallelujah. I said it earlier, but I have to tell myself this about 100 times a day. My sin, not in part, but the whole. But the whole. Oh. Do I pray grateful prayers? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Don't you like hanging around grateful people? Is there anything more galling than people who are so ungrateful? Hallelujah. I'm learning it. You know, Job was a man who could pray with grateful prayers. Now this takes grace. You know that man Job, he prayed a prayer. He said, I know my Redeemer lives. But you know what was astounding in that prayer? Because in the face, that's an astounding prayer when he said, I know my Redeemer lives, in the face of what he didn't know. In the face of what he didn't know. He did not know he was in the middle of a cosmic confrontation between heaven and hell. He didn't know he was the object of a bold confrontation of God towards the devil. He didn't know that God had said to the devil, see my servant Job. He didn't know God had pointed him out to the devil's attention. He didn't know that God was saying, you see my servant Job, there's none like him throughout all the earth. He didn't know, you know, maybe if God had explained to Job, now listen, you've been selected. And the enemy is going to come against you, against your testimony. Everything you hold dear, every calamity, everything you think you've known about me, everything you've loved will be touched. God didn't say, now sit down, Job, because you're going to be a trophy and they're going to talk to you to the end of the ages. He didn't know that. How much easier if it had all been explained to him, then maybe he could have been strong. And beloved, you and I, some things we don't have explained to us, but we have to hold strong. But all Job knew was enough. I know my Redeemer lives. Redeemer is one who rescues me, who knows how to purchase me out of the hand of the enemy. And if he lives, then I'll live too. What a prayer. In the middle of our worst mental battles, we cannot fully know all that is going on in the heavenlies concerning us. We cannot know what truly is at stake surrounding our testimony to God's love and faithfulness. We cannot fully understand what is happening when you and I, armed by this scripture that says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request known. Take your troubled, anxious, tormented heart to me. You don't understand in the heavenlies what's going on. Praise God. What is truly at stake and in us being grateful in our prayers? We are breaking the power of the enemy to oppress us. We are breaking the power of the enemy to be able to point to us and say, you know, I can get them on this point. Watch this. You know, beloved, some battles are critical. You may be in one right now. Some battles are critical. Not all battles are equal. Not all battles have the same outcome. Not all the battles have the same weight. Some battles are critical. Some really matter that we stand in the face of the tempest and the storm. Some battles really matter that we are found singing and praising at midnight in the inner prison. Some battles it really matters we sing at midnight. Some battles are really matter that we find our voice in the fire with those unbowed Hebrew boys. And we have to make our prayers and supplications known to God with gratitude in these times. I want to close with a story that I've told you many times, but I think one of the most compelling stories I know of praying prayers of thanksgiving. In World War II, in a German concentration camp, there were women gathered together in huts, and they were being beaten and starved, worked to death, and ultimately gassed, mostly Jewish women. But God sent two Dutch ladies, two middle-aged Dutch women, into this prison camp. And this one sister, Betsy, would have a Bible study in the concentration camp. These ragged women, all of them starving, she would eventually die there herself. And she would start to have Bible study, and she says, the Bible says we're to give thanks for everything. What a gasp of horror. What a mockery that seemed to be. Did she not understand the depths of their suffering and their plight? How could she suggest that they give thanks? But she would have this Bible study, and she would begin to talk about the love of Christ to mostly these Jewish women. And this Bible study would be translated into all the languages of Europe, because they would hear her speak in her language, and everybody would know a little bit of something, and from German to Russian to Polish, it would be translated. And she had her mockers in there, but the love of Christ began to invade this miserable place. And one day, the women were all complaining because they were full of lice. And at Bible study that night, she said to these emaciated women, we're going to thank God for the lice. Now, that was too much. She said, no, we will thank for lice. And she began to do that. And beloved, it was shown a few weeks later how grateful they were for lice. Because the officers began raiding parties on the huts where the women were gathered, but this hut where the Bible study was going on had a reputation, had lice, and then had a reputation for lice. And they were saved from repeated brutalized rapes that would occur in those other barracks. And I think of that story so many times. And I think of this woman, faithful and able to see the grace of God in the worst of circumstances. I think of hundreds, maybe thousands of Jewish women that went to their deaths with Jesus' name on their lips. And how many of those women prayed for their descendants that find themselves today in Israel with our brother and sister Davis ministering to them. I think, oh God, what kind of faith did this woman have? What kind of trust that she could declare, in all things we will give thanks. Not that we agree with it, but God, we make our supplication, our prayers with thanksgiving, with a grateful heart, saying, God, you see even the most miserable of place, and God, I'm going to exalt you above what I see and what I know. I'm going to declare you to be good. I'm going to declare you to have something in this, that you don't waste my sorrows, that you don't take my tears, you don't take my life and grind it to powder and say it was for naught. No, you come and you join yourself to us. You join yourself to me. You bottle every tear, and you make it an anointing oil that gives me power to speak words to all those that can hear in this time of trial. My dad was thankful he went bankrupt, because then he could hear the gospel of Christ at 60 years old. I tell you, he died a man rich in faith, and he died with peace. The hallmark of his death was peace. We heard it today read that those that give to the poor, when they are floundering or they're in their last hours of their bed, it shall be well. And peace shall permeate them. I've seen that. I thank God for a time in my life where I lived isolated on a farm with no friend and nothing to comfort me except this word. But by the grace of God, he opened this word to me and he became my Bible teacher. He taught me at a washing machine. He taught me where he able to say, I'm going to renew your mind and I'm going to give your mind strength to understand what you're reading. I thank God for every moment spent in that isolated place and lonely place where there was suffering of mind and spirit, but he was better. It's better what I got. I thank God. Beloved, tonight, I say to you, I thank God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. That's why we can pray prayers of gratitude. Tonight, God is speaking to many in this place. And this altar is open to the issue that he is speaking to you about. What it is that he is teaching you to do and to be in this upcoming Christmas season. And the grace of God will teach us to be a very grateful and praising people if we will go his way, trust him with his life in us to do the impossible. Will you stand with me? And all those that want to declare a prayer of thanksgiving that it will be well. It will be well by grace. You want to join me in this altar for this prayer, for this season? You come now. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Let not your heart be troubled. But everything that is in your heart troubling you, now offer it by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, because it shall be well. Everything troubling you, God's saying, it shall be well by grace. I know how to answer this prayer. Beloved, we are not going to dishonor our Jesus anymore by being troubled, but we're going to turn over every trouble and every care, everything that is anxious in us. And He says we're going to mix that prayer with thanksgiving. We're grateful for our salvation and the God who answers prayer, who sees and knows the way out. He knows the way out. He is peace. He is peace to our heart. He is peace to our life. And He's going to flood our hearts with peace, because it shall be well with grace when we pray. Every trouble, it shall be well by grace. Every anxiety, it is going to be well by grace, because the God who loves us is the one who answers this prayer. Now, beloved, I want you to lift up everything in your heart that troubles and is giving you anxious time. It's troubling you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You say our hearts not to be troubled, but to believe you and to trust you. So, Lord, everything that's in our heart now, we mix it with thanksgiving. We say we're a grateful people. We're so grateful, Jesus, you love us. We're so grateful you're so powerful. You're so grateful you're so merciful. God, it's nothing but mercy for us now. It's nothing but your love for us now. You call us son. You call us daughter. We're not servants. We're sons and we're daughters right now. And God, you've come now. And we say thank you. We trust you now. You are the way. We trust you. Now, God, we ask you to seal, oh God, this prayer with thanksgiving, that our faith to believe that it shall be well because we've turned it over to you. Seal it with your peace now. Let your peace fill our mind and our hearts. Thank you, God. We go into this Christmas season with the promise of peace. Everything that troubles us, we immediately turn it over to you with thanksgiving, with a grateful heart. That we ascend the mountain of praise. We go to the high places where the enemy cannot go. And we offer, God, everything in our heart to you. And we hear it shall be well by grace, because you love us. Jesus, only you can do this. Jesus, only you can say to us, let not your heart be troubled. Only you, Jesus, can say this and then take the troubling away and replace it with your peace. Now, Lord, we thank you for this. We receive this incredible gift, Lord, of the strength to turn over our anxious hearts and to mix our prayer with thanksgiving and to accept the peace, Lord, that is the way out. Thank you for rest now. You are good. We love you, Jesus. Receive now our troubled hearts, and we thank you now for that peace and a grateful heart in its stead. We receive it. In Jesus' precious name. Beloved, it shall be well with you. It shall be well with you.
This is the conclusion of the message.